Good to see everybody here tonight. Good to see sunshine outside. I mentioned this morning one of the things I missed last year, really kind of felt as if got cheated out of, was the time when we all got together in sunlight outside and got to see the beauty of the nature around us and warm weather. And although we were meeting together part of the time towards June, July, it still wasn't quite the same. So this is really nice to be able to be together tonight. And what we're going to do is really continue on and finish the lesson we started, or the series we have started. Now let me get this here running. And that is on the book of Jonah. And as you look at the book of Jonah, there's a number of things about it that really is pretty unique about it. Some amazing facts in it. One is the fact that here you have a man who knows God, who is in fact the prophet of God, and yet this man decides to run away from God. And one of the statements he makes in the first chapter, in verse 9, whenever he explains who he is, "I'm a Hebrew, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." And yet this man acts as if that he can actually run away to a place that God would not go find him. And that, to me, is kind of amazing. We stop thinking about that. How many times people talk about God and understanding that He is omnipresent, all-powerful, and all-knowing, and yet sometimes we act as if He doesn't see us, that He doesn't really know what I'm doing. Well, that's what Jonah kind of is doing right here. And the second amazing fact is that you have these men on the boat who are idolatrous sailors, and they're turning around and praying their gods, and they're amazed that Jonah's not praying to his God. Again, the fact that a man that believes in the power of God and knows the word of God but does not turn to him in time of prayer. And then a third thing that we've talked about is that God saved Jonah by a big fish. Having swallowed up, stays in the belly of that fish for 3 days. We had studied about the prayer of Jonah during that time period. And again, that is a unique experience. Nobody else ever been in that situation before or ever afterwards. And then also we have the reaction of the people of Nineveh when Jonah comes down and preaches to them. And as you think about Nineveh, we have stressed that lesson, how ruthless, how terrible the nation of Assyria really was. That they would go in and just kill everybody, or they would kill all the men, kill all the boys, because they didn't want anybody that would be alive that would really be able to rival their leadership. And then they would take the women and either kill them or rape them and make those slaves. And then they repent when they hear Jonah preaching to them. And then also what we have in this lesson is really Jonah's reaction to their repentance. So Jonah here is not happy about this. And so we start off here in chapter 4, and we have that Jonah is angry. I remember my fifth grade teacher, Ms. Bynes, that she sometimes we would say, "Well, you know, somebody got mad." And she would very quickly correct them and say, "No, you are angry." Well, Jonah here is mad. Jonah here is so angry he can't hardly see straight. And as he starts talking to God, he said, "Displeased Jonah exceedingly and became angry." And you look at this here and notice what, but it displeased Jonah. What's the "it" referred to here? There's just two letters, but actually the "it" referred to here is what the last verse of chapter 3 is all about. When you back up chapter 3, and Jonah again is preaching to people of Nineveh, tell them they need to repent or God's going to destroy their city, and they repented in sackcloth and ashes. Even the king did so, and even the animals were not allowed to eat during this time period. And so at that point, said, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster He said He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. And that is, He did not destroy the city. And so Jonah here has said about that. Jonah actually wanted, apparently, the city of Nineveh to be destroyed. What God wanted in this situation is two different things. And so Jonah, by being angry because God did not do it, is actually angry at God for not doing it. And so we go on a little bit farther here, and we find then that Jonah turns around and Jonah speaks to God. Jonah prays to God. As you look on the next verse here, verse 2, he says there, through verse 3. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, Is this not why I stayed when I was still in my country? Now, that tells a lot about Jonah's, why Jonah ran here, and that is Jonah understood God's gracious, God's merciful, and he didn't like this aspect, what God's telling Jonah to do. He said, therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that ye are a great grace and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant loving kindness, one to relent from doing ye harm. Therefore now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. And so Jonah at this point is saying, okay, now, one thing, as I was reading this, I thought, well, give credit to Jonah for one thing, and that is Jonah now is praying to God. He does in chapter 2, he does in this lesson here, and that's God, Jonah turns around, and he's angry at God, but yet he prays to God. Yes, so a lot of times people, when they're angry at God, do not pray to God. And you may find it hard to do that yourself. There may be a situation in your life where you just don't like how things are turning out, and you may blame God for this. Maybe a death of a loved one, or maybe an illness you have, or maybe some kind of other disaster has come upon your life. And there's a lot of times people, when they, that happens to them, they turn around, they blame God for it. And what we need to understand here is, even when we're angry, even if you're angry with God, you need to turn around and pray to Him. And that's what Jonah's doing right here. And so is it ever hard for you to pray to God? Have you ever had hard feelings? Maybe about somebody or something that's happened in your life and found it really hard to pray? Well, that's, you understand how hard that can be sometimes. And so Jonah here turns around and prays to God. And as he does that, basically Jonah's request is very simple. And that is, God, just go ahead and take me out. Just God, go ahead and kill me right now, here and now. And you know, when you're praying to God and saying that, you better be pretty serious about that, because God had the ability to destroy Nineveh. God surely had the ability to kill Jonah if he had wanted to do that. And so when Jonah just says, well, God, just go ahead and kill me, you know, it's not just a flippant remark. Sometimes people today may say something along the fat line of, if this doesn't work, then just go ahead and shoot me or something along that line. But that's not what Jonah's doing here. Jonah really does want to die here. And he's not unique in this. In fact, we may kind of forget that there's a couple other people that actually, as prophets of God, basically said the same thing. One is Moses. Moses, as dealing with children of Israel, them wandering in the wilderness there all those 40 years, and gets fed up with them, complaining and murmuring against him. And so in Numbers 11, verse 14, he says, I'm not able to bear all these people alone, because their burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I've done favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness, God, you'd be doing me a favor by just kill me right now, and I can't stand it anymore. That's what Moses said. And then the other one that comes to mind is Elijah. And Elijah, you may recall, in 1 Kings 18 chapter, has a duel with the prophets of Baal, and that Elijah's sacrifice consumed by God. The prophets of Baal is not. And there we have the prophets of Baal are killed, but Jezebel goes ahead and has prophets of God killed at the death, kind of retaliation. And Elijah just kind of had fed up with it, all that's going on here. So 1 Kings 19, verse 4, it said, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down on a broom tree, and prayed that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, or no better than, am I no better than my father's? And so again, he was basically saying, God, just go ahead and take me away from here. Now there's a difference though between Jonah and Elijah in particular. And that is that as Elijah here, that basically in verse 10, he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone will let them take my life. They see what Elijah's upset with. Elijah's upset because, not because God's graceful, but Elijah's upset because of what the people are doing, the sins of the people. He's saying, look what all they are doing here, and am I really better than my fathers before me, who they have also persecuted, that they have also killed in times past? And so basically, he's upset because they're not turning towards God. They're not doing what God said. And not only that, but also, Elijah said because God's purpose has not been accomplished.
The whole idea of the bill of the prophets of Baal in the 18th chapter was to prove to the children of Israel Baal is nothing at all, that God is the great God of heaven, and they need to turn to him, and they need to be on his side here. And after that was all over with, they still didn't do it. And therefore, basically, the hills are set because it had not accomplished the purpose. But Jonah was angry because it was accomplished. That God sent Jonah to the city of Nineveh to preach to them because God wanted Nineveh to repent. And Jonah's upset because Nineveh repented. You know, he thinks sometimes as a preacher that you always want to get a positive response from your audience. You preach a lesson, you want people to listen to it, you want people to obey the word of God. And so you would think right here that Jonah would be very happy because he did a good job preaching apparently, but he's not. Because they actually listened to the lesson. And so again, that's kind of a unique situation right here. And as you think about the little father here, that Elijah's thinking about the people and what they were doing in God's cause, but Jonah's only thinking about himself. He didn't think about the 120,000 people in the city of Nineveh. And he's just thinking about what he wanted at this point right here. And so Jonah says, God, if this way it is, just go ahead and kill me. And so to that, the God has a response. And that is, God talks to Jonah. He asks Jonah a very simple question. That is it right for you to be angry? Another way of saying that would be, Jonah, why exactly are you angry at me? And as he asks that question, have you ever had a question somebody asked you, and really you didn't want to answer because you knew that really the answer was not a good answer? You didn't really have a good reason for the way you reacted, what you was doing, however it may have been. And here's a case where Jonah really doesn't answer the question, really. But we think about the fact that there are times like this when if God would speak to us, say, okay, you know, why are you disappointed? Why are you upset? Why are you mad at me? And how many of us would say, well, you know, start thinking about that and think, I really don't want God. You know, I mean, that's kind of dumb. I don't have a good reason. That's where way Jonah was right here. And, you know, we can give some possible reasons here. Really, it doesn't go a whole lot of detail about this, about why exactly Jonah's angry. But it may have been partly because of patriotism, this nationalist experience here, that Jonah was a Hebrew. He's another 10 tribes of Israel. And Syria is the empire that's going to come in eventually destroy his country. He wanted to see Assyria defeated. He didn't want to see Assyria victorious. He didn't want to see them continue to exist. As far as his nationalist experience be concerned, it'd be great if Nineveh was destroyed. That would take out that empire. And so it could have been a case here that basically that, you know, he just didn't like the Assyrian empire. It may have been the case that he knew that if he went to Nineveh and preached the word of God, that they might just repent and his own people wouldn't. Have you ever thought about that? That here God has sent prophet after prophet to northern Israel to tell them to turn back to him, tell them to get away from their idols, tell them they need to do the word of God. And time after time, the children of northern Israel didn't listen to him. And now here he is going to go preach to the people of Nineveh and they don't listen. And it may just made Jonah a little bit upset about that, mad about that. And so it may have been partly because, again, that basically here that, you know, that they weren't part of his empire, his nation. No, he didn't like them. And I think there's a little bit of a lesson there for us Christians. We have to be careful about a us against them attitude. And we have to realize that and that's kind of the attitude the Jews had with the Gentiles. You know, we are people of God, and those folks over there are dogs, they're Gentiles, and we don't care anything about them. As Christians, we have to be concerned about the souls of everybody. We can't pick and choose who our brother, sister Christ is going to be. That's up to them to obey the gospel. And so he may have been, that may have been the reason right there. It may have been, also we can say, the fact is that what Jonah wanted and what God wanted were not aligned. They were not harmony right now. And as you look at this here, you realize that, Jonah just didn't want the same thing God wanted. Whenever Jesus talked about the model prayer, what did he say? One thing is to pray in Matthew 6 verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And there are times people, as they think about the will of God, may not like it. They may not like what actually the Bible said to do. They may not like how God does things. They may get upset with God because of that. And so it's a case where we have to realize it's not what I want that matters, it's what God wants that matters. And so that may have been another reason right there. It may have been pure racism. The hatred of Syrian people, they probably looked a little bit different than the Jews did. They used a little bit different language than the Jews used. They had a different culture than the Jews were used to. They ate things that were different than the Jews would eat. And so, you know, he may look at those folks and just thought that, you know, I don't like who they are. Again, the Bible points out as Christians, we have to realize that as whenever we obey the gospel, there's no such thing as black or white or red or yellow or brown. That everybody's soul is the same inside of God. Even men and women, young and old. And the call to preach the gospel goes to all nations. When Jesus sent the disciples out, he didn't say just the Jewish nation, he said to all nations in the world. And so it may have been a case of sheer idea, again, sheer racism. And it may have been also pure selfishness. And that is that Jehovah was his God, and he did not want to share his God with anybody else. The Jews were special like that. You know, they had this covenant relationship with God, and he was their God. And basically, it's kind of a case of only if you're willing to worship God in my way. But no, sir, Jonah wasn't teaching them to become Jews. He was teaching them to go and to obey God, which were two different things, really, for the Gentiles. And so maybe in that case there, that he just was, you know, he just didn't like the idea these folks were don't actually worship his God. And he started thinking about this a little bit more. I got speculating about this a little more. And kind of like, also maybe in a case of how would the Jews react when they found out that Jonah had gone to Nineveh and preached to them? How would his fellow Jews look at this? Well, they would say to Jonah, well done. You know, we're really proud of you going out there and preaching that Gentile nation. I dare say a lot of the other Jews felt the same way that Jonah did about the city of Nineveh. And they'd be upset about it, much like we have almost a situation kind of like this in the New Testament. And that is Peter when he goes to the house of Cornelius. We are all familiar with this in Acts 10th chapter. Peter goes to his household and preaches the gospel to them. We have the first Gentile converts. Often we talk about in that 10th chapter of Acts. As Cornelius' household obey the gospel. And Peter goes back to Jerusalem. And the Christian / Jews back there in Jerusalem. They come to Peter. And what are they asking? And that is, or not really asking much as a statement of him. Is you went into uncircumcised men and ate with them? What are you thinking, Peter? What are you doing? Those are Gentiles. They're not our people. And so Jonah may have been reasoning the same thing, and that is that, you know, these aren't my people. And just how my brethren will treat me when they find out God preached to those folks. And then also we could point out here the case of Jonah was really upset over God's grace. When you boil it all down to it, that all these things, you know, comprise one big reason, that is, that he did not want God to spare these people for whatever reason, and so when God didn't destroy them, he's upset with God. And again, his attitude's not really different than a lot of the people in the Bible. You think about the parable of the prodigal son, Luke 15th chapter. And the younger son goes out after getting his inheritance, goes to foreign land, wastes it right his living. Loses everything he has, feeding the hogs, comes to his senses, go back to his father's house, and the father takes him back in. And what is the older son upset about? He's upset because his father took him back in. He didn't want his brother coming back inside the household of his father. He wanted his father rejected. And so that same attitude right here, that Jonah wanted God to go ahead and reject these people, kill these people. Or maybe like the Jews and the Pharisees, as they condemned Jesus because he ate with sinners. He ate with people like tax collectors and harlots and just plain sinners. And it didn't matter that they were Jews also. These people were just beneath them. And so they thought, well, they deserve everything they're going to get on day of judgment. And so in this case here, Jonah was kind of on that line here being upset about the fact that God was not going to destroy them. And so we're told then that Jonah goes outside the city. Goes out there to a good place here where you have opportunity to look at the whole city and view it. In verse 5 of Jonah's 4th chapter, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and camped and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become the city. And so you kind of, again, just have this mental image in your mind here. The man walks out of ways to be able to view it all together. And so he makes himself this little place here that casts a little bit of shade on him there and sit down. And he's going to wait. And think about, what is it Jonah's waiting for? What's he hoping to see? They had already repented. He already knew that God really was in trouble. But what's he hoping to see? Is he hoping to see destruction of Jerusalem? He's just got, or the city here at Nineveh? Is hoping maybe that, like Sodom and Gomorrah, where fire, brimstone rained down from heaven to destroy the city? Is hoping maybe in other cases, like God would open up the earth and swallow it up there as God did in the rebellion of Korah and other people like that? Is that what Jonah was hoping for? Or maybe just hoping that the hand of God would come just wipe the city off the face of the earth? We know what he wanted in this right case right here. And so he wanted the city to be gone. And so at that time, we have, again, one of the interesting lessons of this book here. And that is God gives Jonah an object lesson. And that is, you go in the next verses here, said that, and notice here, I underlined it here, God prepared. And that's used three times in our verse right here, in our passage. That, and the Lord God prepared a plan and made it come over Jonah, that might be shaved for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plan. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm and so damaged the plant that withered. And having when the sun rose, that God prepared a vehement east wind and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And so he had this sitting down. Honestly, Jonah's sitting here, and his plan starts growing. He had to recognize that this was God's work right here. It just wasn't like, a little plant starts growing up, and you're there for days, weeks, and months, and grows on up. This is the obvious case where God is making this plant grow in a situation. Jonah realizes this is God's work right here. And what God's doing, and what God does in the book of Jonah, he uses a lot of natural things to teach lessons. He is, for instance, he used to see. Jonah goes on to see the escape. He uses a storm to actually stop Jonah from running. He uses a big fish, a large fish here, to actually swallow Jonah and preserve his life and take him back to shore. And he uses, not only that, but now he's using a gourd as a plant. And then he uses a worm, and he uses the east wind, all these things part of creation. Yeah, and when I look at this, I simply thought about the fact of the song that talks about this is my Father's world. That everything God's created here, and God used these things here to teach Jonah a lesson. And as it does this, basically the gourd provides Jonah with all the shape that Jonah wants and desires. And now Jonah's happy. And Jonah feels as if God's blessed. God gave me a shade tree, we would say today. Isn't God good? And then God turns around and God damages the tree or the gourd and it dies. And now Jonah turns around and Jonah's angry again. He's mad again. And again, as you look at it, in the last part of verse 8, then he wished death for himself. It is better for me to die than to live. So twice now he says, God, just kill me. And at that point, God says, hold it, Jonah. I want you to think about something. And that is, he says, in verse 9 to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And Jonah is right. He said, it's right for me to be angry, even to death. In other words, you're right. I have a justifiable cause right here. This plant dies. And so God said to him, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow which came by the night and perished in the night. Have you ever been that upset over a plant? You know, people get attached to all kinds of things, but really a plant? He said, you're attached to a plant. But he goes on and says, And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left and much livestock? So finally we have a number here, 120,000 people. And when God says, okay, Jonah, you're upset over a plant. And that's all it is. It's a plant. It may have been providing him, you know, you shade. Why was Jonah so angry? Well, he's angry because it gave him shade. Very self-centered answer, really. He's upset because the plant gave him shade and now it's gone. And so God said, I provided the shade to you. I gave the shade, and Jonah saw the mercy of God by shade tree. But then God turns around and said, how about the people of Nineveh? Which is a greater value? Those 120,000 souls or that plant you're all upset about? And you know, there's times in our lives we have to kind of realize that we can sometimes get upset about the wrong things. That's why God's showing Jonah, you're upset about the wrong thing. And Jonah, you should have been thinking more about those 120 people. And the fact is, God showed them greater mercy because they're worth so much more than that plant. And Jonah needed to consider their souls also, as far as instead of just considering their souls as nothing. And that's what he's doing. He's considered those souls with no value at all. And so that kind of ends our study of Jonah. I say when I started off here that Jonah's one of those, when you read chapter 1, chapter 4, it's not a pretty picture of Jonah. 2 and 3, you have a pretty good picture. Now, we do read about Jonah's mother passages in the Old Testament. But let me give you about 3 or 4 points here and then a lesson of yours as far as application. One is that we need to recognize and obey God's will. And that means here that sometimes people today are not like Jonah as far as running to the sea and getting on a boat to Tarshish, but sometimes people are like Jonah that they try to fight against God's will. They try to run away from God. And they want what they want. It doesn't matter to them what God says to do. And God's will is for all mankind to be saved and for us to preach the gospel to everybody, for all of us to obey His word. Though that's the will of God. And if we have a problem with that, then there's something wrong with us. That we should want to do what God said, that we should desire to do what God said, we should want to go to heaven. And therefore we need to understand what God's will is and simply do it. That's a very simple lesson, right? The second thing is, to not only care about ourselves but others. Jonah's a good example of somebody. He was really just thinking about himself. And you know, sometimes we may think, well, okay, what does that mean? What that means is the Bible says, again, being Christian is more than not stealing. It's more than not killing your neighbor. It's more than not lying to your neighbor. It's more than not doing all the bad things. Being a good Christian means you do good. You have to do good things to be a good person. And so one passage that comes to mind is James 1 verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion for God and Father is this, to visit orphans, widows, or trouble, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And so there are things that we are to do as Christians that are to help one another and to help our fellow man. And so we need to think about, how am I helping others? Am I helping as far as preaching the gospel? Am I helping in other areas in life? The third lesson is, we need to have our values and priorities right. Jonah was so upset over something of little value and he's willing to consider nothing the value of 120,000 souls. And as I say that, we have to realize that, and we can do the same thing in different ways. We may, for instance, we may put a great emphasis on getting our degree, going to college, studying hard. Nothing wrong with doing those things. Nothing wrong with getting your degree, going to college. But we may put such a great emphasis on that we don't value ourselves. That we don't think about God. And we decide, I can put Him on the back burner until later on. Which is of greater value? That degree or yourself? There's been a lot of people that never made out of college. That may have had all A's, but they never lived long enough to get out of college. Our daughter Hope had a good friend that had been with her in Western Kentucky biology classes, and they studied together. And one weekend, her friend went back to Northern Kentucky where she grew up at, and they're going to a concert. That Saturday night, she was involved in an auto accident and killed her. She never got to graduate, never got to take the final in that class. You know, we think about which is of greater value in my life. And we may sometimes just realize that the soul people are more important than material things. It's the greater value, our soul. And so just remind me of a passage here in Matthew 16, verse 26. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's not rhetorical questions. Those are questions that we need to think about. What is of more value to yourself? If you can think of anything, you're wrong. There is nothing of greater value to yourself than yourself. And you need to treat it with the value that it deserves. And so the last point is simply don't be a Jonah. You know, don't be a Jonah trying to run away from God, or don't be a Jonah trying to be angry because of God's grace. Instead, we need to be the obedient servants of God, always seeking to do His will. I appreciate your kind attention tonight and our study together. I enjoyed the study of Jonah, and I hope that you have too. We have now this song selected, and which one is it?
317.
Okay, I had it. Okay, I'm totally wrong there. Okay, 317. And we have the song selected then. That's one of way of encouragement for those who need to obey the gospel. We can help you anyway. Why don't you let us know as we stand as we sing.
All things are ready.